Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront catches up with Gil Robertson and the African American Film Critics Association. The organization is gearing up for its annual Synergy Awards. Robertson also talks about his latest literary offering, Book of Black Heroes, Political Leaders, Past, Present, and Future. And closing out our June celebration of Black Music Month, is Grammy-winning singer, actress, advocate, and music icon, Miss Patti LaBelle. The living legend opens up about her new jazz album, Belle Hommage. She also gives us the 411 on her new cookbook and much more. But first, here's this week's casting buzz and entertainment news with Reva Blue.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Central Casting is looking for skilled basketball players for an untitled project. Men of all ethnicities are encouraged to audition and must look between the ages of 20 to 30 years old. Scenes will involve street ball games and will film in the Atlanta area in August. The production is also looking for boys of all ethnicities between the ages of 9 to 12 years old who are good basketball players. If this is you, please submit a current photo. Name, phone number, height, and basketball experience to commercial@centralcasting.com. Central Casting is also auditioning stand-ins for Cherry Blue. The project is seeking Hispanic-looking men between the ages of 20 to 40 with black hair and tan complexion. Must also be between 5'6 and 5'8 in height. The production is also looking for Caucasian men between the ages of 30 to 40 with black hair. Must be between 5'10 and 6 feet in height. If you fit the description of either one, please submit your name, phone number, recent photo, and which stand-in you're auditioning for to cherryblue@centralcasting.com. In other related entertainment news, the BET Awards will air live tomorrow night at 8 p.m. and is hosted by comedian and actress Leslie Jones. Previously announced nominees include Beyoncé and Bruno Mars, along with the Humanitarian Award going to Chance the Rapper, and the Lifetime Achievement Award going to New Edition. That's this week's Casting Buzz and Entertainment News. I'm Reva Blue.
Hey Upfront listeners, yours truly, Ray Cornelius, will be hitting the road next week for the highly anticipated Essence Festival. I'll be in New Orleans June 29th through July 2nd for the biggest party of the summer, collecting interviews and talking to all the stars for a special edition of Upfront. Please stop by and say hello if you're attending this year. We'd love to see you. You can also follow us on Instagram at Upfront The Show. That's Upfront The Show.
I dig the crazy sound you made. Whenever I hold you tight, you don't know what I go through. There's nothing like the jazz in you. You groove me with so much delight. Your lovely eyes light up the night. You are music playing soft and blue.
Hey y'all, this is Logan Browning from Netflix's Dear White People, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
My first guest is the president of the African American Film Critics Association, AFCA. He is also an NAACP Image Award nominee and a respected journalist whose work has appeared in the Los Angeles Times, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and Essence Magazine. I'm talking about none other than Gil Robertson. The in-demand media star stopped by the Upfront Studios recently to chat about AFCA's Synergy Awards, which will honor filmmaker Rob Hardy. He also opens up about his new children's book and why it took him 8 years to write it. This is his fifth literary offering and one that he hopes will inspire our next generation of political leaders. Well, good morning, Gil Robertson, and welcome to Upfront. How are you?
I'm great, Ray. How are you doing?
You know, this is your third time here on the show and a fan of yours, you know, so happy to have you here.
I'm a big fan of yours. I think you're doing wonderful work, and you're providing the city of Atlanta with a much-needed service. I'm so proud of you.
Oh, thank you so much. So a lot going on with you. Let's start. We're going to talk about your book, which is titled Book of Black Heroes, Political Leaders,
past and present. But before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about AFCA. You are the president and founder of the African American Film Critics Association. You guys do amazing work all throughout the year. We're about to go into the summer months. So what's going on with you guys right now?
Well, you know, traditionally, thank you. we're, you know, traditionally during the summer, we produce an event in Atlanta called Synergy.
Okay.
Synergy is an opportunity for professionals in the film and TV industries in the Southeast to come together to mix, meet, and mingle and plant the seeds of collaboration. And so this is our sixth year. We've had very successful engagements here in Atlanta, allowing, you know, a positive environment for professionals to come together and to congregate, to fellowship, and to just get to know each other better.
Yeah.
The events also include an opportunity where we celebrate the success of a local Atlantan, our native of the Southeast, who has contributed to the growth of the film and TV industries. In the past, we've honored people like Terrell Whitley and Nick Nelson from Liquid Soul, Charles Humbart, who is the founder of Up TV, Roger Bob, noted film director and producer, Mark Swinton, from Tyler Perry Studios. And this year, we're thrilled to be celebrating the career and the contributions of Rob Hardy.
Oh, wow.
Who, as you know, is a very gifted and talented creator, you know, starting with his work with Will Packer,
right,
with Rainforest, films like Toi, an endless list of movies, Stump the Yard.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Just, you know, and, Think and Like a Man, one and two.
Yeah, The Quad also. He's worked on that as well.
BT's in addition to the work that he's currently doing as a director and producer, executive producer of The Quad, you know, a very, very much in demand director, Vampire Diaries, The Flash, Power, the list literally just goes on and on. So he's, you know, his success has really been one of the factors that has made Atlanta's presence in film and television so remarkable.
Yeah. Now, with this event also, as you mentioned, this is an opportunity for folks to be able to kind of get to know other people within the industry, as well as honoring people like Rob, who, like you said, has sort of created a blueprint for many people to follow in terms of filmmaking, getting into television, directing, producing, becoming a content creator. So, yeah, amazing, amazing work. Really excited about it.
Yeah, we're thrilled. We're so happy that we, you know, that we're able to spotlight, you know, with Synergy Atlanta and the growth that it's had in the last 5 to 6 years in the industry. It's a lot of fun. And it's going to be on July 20th at an undisclosed location, unfortunately, but it'll be a lot of fun. You'll be there, so you'll be able to tell everyone about it.
Yeah. Now, what else is going on with you guys?
You know, we just finished a screening series on the legacy, the cinematic legacy of Prince,
Okay. Which
we did in 5 markets, and that was an amazing opportunity to celebrate his legacy in cinema and to show his films and to really talk about, you know, the work and the value that he contributed to the cinematic arts. You know, most people think of Prince as a musician. Obviously, he was an extremely gifted one, but he was also very, very impressive visual artist. And so, you know, it was a special opportunity. And we presented that here with our partners over at the Auburn Avenue Research Library. So we're going to be doing something around Detroit, which is a new movie that's coming up the latter part of the summer.
Okay.
So please, you know, your listeners should, you know, look out for information regarding that. And we'll be doing a screening, something similar to like what we did last year with Moonlight, you know, involving the cast and the creators behind that project.
Okay.
So we're real excited about that. And that's really, that's enough.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Now, many of our listeners may know you, as we mentioned before, with AFCA and you know, being a film critic and really helping to promote a lot of African-American films and television shows. But you're also an accomplished book author. And you have a new book titled Book of Black Heroes, Political Leaders, Past and Present. What was the inspiration behind this? Because this is so different from what you normally do. And also, let me go back and say, You had written a book some years back, Not in My Family, about HIV AIDS and its impact on the African-American community. So this is not, I wouldn't say this is out of the ordinary for you to write books on subjects that are totally different from arts and entertainment. But what was the inspiration behind this particular book?
Well, leadership is the central theme of this book. And I felt that it was actually born around the time Barack Obama was elected president. And ultimately took 8 years, you know, for me to finally finish. I've actually had a book that's come out prior to this.
Right.
Before this, I'm sorry. And basically, you know, it came out at the right time because, you know, obviously we're dealing we're living in a time where the values of leadership are at an all-time low under the, you know, Trump administration. And basically, around the time that I pitched and sold this book, I was looking for a way to create engagement with children. It's my first children's book. It's my fifth book overall.
Okay.
And I have the feeling that as a value, you know, leadership wasn't something that young people today really aspire to, and I wondered why. And so I wanted to, in some way, participate in encouraging young people to know that leadership is definitely something that is possible in their lives. And that's what this book does. It provides them with examples of real life political leaders, people like Kasim Reed, people like Cory Booker, people like Kamala Harris, folks who are really getting the job done and making a difference in the lives, in all of our lives.
Yeah. Now, you have a foreword by the legendary Dr. Merle Evers Williams. How did that collaboration come about?
Oh, my God. That was really, Miss Merle Evers is life itself. The book is worth, her essay alone is worth the cost of the book. What she speaks to about her journey, starting as a mother and wife, and how life just took her in a different direction, and the death of her husband, just the example that she stood up, and she stepped into his shoes, and my God, she is such an amazing, a powerful. It was such a real, true privilege to work with Mrs. Evers and to just learn from her. Just amazing.
Yeah. Now, biopics seem to be a way that a lot of folks learn about the lives of people that we look up to. A lot of times we hear those infamous backstories, or we really find out what it would really take for someone to become great. Do you think that maybe having more stories about our political leaders would be a better way to introduce who they are and their accomplishments to this current generation or to the millennials?
I certainly hope so. I hope that, one of the greatest things I thought about Underground was the fact that it introduced, you know, it resonated with so many young people. I was with some friend of mine with her son one day, and out of the blue he just started talking about Frederick Douglass and Harriet Tubman. Mm. And ran into another young person, a 8-9 year old, and they were talking about Frederick Douglass, and I was like, wow, you know, it's a way that's in my opinion the purpose of entertainment. It's to, you know, entertain and also educate. And so the goal of the book is the same, you know, by introducing these real life leaders to young people, hopefully it will inspire them to also want to do the same. And, you know, all you can do is put it out there and hope for the best. So I've had a pretty successful track record as an author, and I'm just hoping that it will continue with the children's market as well.
Yeah. Well, Gil, thank you so much for stopping by the Upfront Studios. And again, congratulations on Book of Black Heroes, Political Leaders Past and Present. And where can they actually get the book?
Bookstores, Walmart, Target, obviously Amazon.
Yeah.
You could also go to my website, booksbygil.com. And it's published by Just Us Books, which is the leading publisher of children's books about of Black children's books in the country. And so you can go to their website as well. But the book is available wherever books are sold.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey, Upfront listeners, you can now follow us on Instagram under Upfront the Show. We'll have exclusive news, giveaways, and much more. That's Upfront the Show on Instagram.
Hey, this is Jasmine Guy, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
Now, if your mind lies in the devil's workshop, and evil doings your thrill, trouble and mischief is all you live for, you know done well, and you'll go to hell, you'll go to hell.
That is the legendary Patti LaBelle performing her version of the Nina Simone classic, Go to Hell. The song is one of 13 from her new jazz album, Belle Hommage, and is a project that she's been working on now for a few years. It also includes other jazz standards such as Wild as the Wind, Moanin', Here's to Life, and Moody's Mood for Love featuring Kim. I caught up with Miss Patti and talked exclusively to her about the CD, as well as her new cookbook, and much more. Well, good morning, Miss LaBelle, and welcome to Upfront. How are you today?
I'm good, Ray. How are you?
I am doing excellent. We are so excited around here that you are going to be on our airwaves. You know, when I was telling everyone, I was like, oh my God, we're going to be talking to Miss LaBelle about her new album, Belle Hommage. They were like, oh my God, we can't wait. But before we go into that, I want to say that we've been celebrating Black Music Month here all month long, all June here on Upfront. And it's a true honor to close out this month interviewing you. You recently, you picked up an award. You were honored for My Music Matters at the Legends Lunch. Yes. How was that this year?
It was awesome. It was a luncheon and not an evening award show. Some evening ones, I guess they become a little rough every now and then because you put on the black gown and the jewels and all that stuff, and guys have to wear tux. This was a very easy afternoon. Everybody came in and what they wanted. Still appropriate.
Right.
Appropriate. And the singing was amazing, and being honored with David Porter and Teddy Riley and
Kirk Franklin?
My baby, yeah. Kirk Franklin. And then having Tamela Mann sing and Kelly Price and this wonderful singer who sang You're My Friend for Me. I mean, these voices blew everybody away. And it was very, very loose, but phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like people had planned these speeches. I know I didn't. So it was just an honor.
Yeah, LeAndrea Johnson, that's the other singer.
God, that girl sings like a fool. She's crazy, her voice. My Lord.
Yeah, she is amazing. Mm. So let's get into this new album, Belle Hommage. This is your first jazz album and your first one in 10 years. So I know that this was something that you've been promising fans for a very long time. So now that it's here, let's talk about it.
Now that it's here, I am so happy. You know, like I said, nothing for 10 years. And it didn't have to end up being jazz. It just ended up being jazz. And that was something that I was afraid to do because I've never done it before, and I did not want to embarrass myself by messing up a Gloria Lynn or Nina Simone classic, you know. And so I did them, and I could say, Ray, that I'm so happy I did. And the public response is very, very good.
Yeah. Now, you actually did one of my favorite songs, Here's to Life by the late Shirley Horn.
That's your favorite. Yeah. I closed my show with that now.
Really?
Oh, and it's silent. It's just, ooh, the lyrics of that song.
Yeah.
And I had heard it maybe 10 years ago, Here's to Life and some of our other music. And I said, this lady is truly unsung. And she was about 80, I think, when she passed, in her 80s, I think.
Yeah.
Nobody really knew who she was, and that's a sin.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's something I started a couple of years ago, and each time I have a birthday, I play that song
because really?
it's a very reflective song. You know, when you think about the lyrics,
no complaints.
Yeah, no regrets.
I've been chasing dreams and placing bets.
Yeah. My favorite line is for there's no yes in yesterday.
Ooh.
And who knows what tomorrow brings or takes away.
The way. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. Oh, and when before I sing it, you know, at the end of the show, I'll tell the audience, this is a song that you must listen to the lyrics, because I just do it with me and my piano player. So there's less music and more lyric. And some folks are crying, and it's one of my favorites.
Baby, you make me feel so good. Let me take you by the hand. Come, let me visit out. Never knowing what love's about. Hey man,
you can come over here and blow now if you want to.
So you just heard Miss LaBelle with Kim on the classic Moody's Mood for Love. What was it like recording that with him? Because you guys have so much, some great chemistry there.
We sure do. I recorded one of his songs a long time ago that was entitled Jesus with he and Ron Isley and myself. And we also did a short little tour, like play with like a Christmas play and singing that song. And I just knew that I had to sing with him again. And this is the perfect song for him to be on, Moody's Mood. I mean, what is it called? James Moody, Moody's Mood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love it.
Now, were there some songs that didn't quite make the album? Because, you know, when you think about jazz, there's so much that you could have, you know, you could have pulled from Ella Fitzgerald, Sarah Vaughan. So were there some that didn't make it?
And I wanted to, but, you know, you're only allowed a few. So we ended up with a great 13. And okay, we had about four maybe left or five that we didn't do.
Uh-huh.
Didn't put on this project, but it was hard to choose.
Now, when did you start the process, or how did you go about saying, hey, we definitely want to have this song on the album?
Well, maybe 2 years ago, me and my ex-husband and Jabbar Jones, he's one of the producers.
Okay.
And we talked about songs, and they came up with songs, I came up with songs, and we all said, okay, that's a good one. So we recorded. That's how we came about choosing all of the music.
Yeah, wow. Now, in addition to music, you have just released a new book, LaBelle Cuisine's Soulful Sweets to Sing About. Mm-hmm. And is there a particular kitchen memory that you'd like to share with our audience? Because, you know, we all love the patty pies and the peach cobbler and all that stuff. But is there anything in particular that you'd like to share with our audience?
Well, the red velvet cake is one of my favorites to make. It's the red velvet redemptive cake. And because me and my sister Jackie, before she passed, we had a few issues. And the main thing that we fought about was her seeing me as big or bigger than Barbara Streisand or Bette Midler at that time. And I would say to her, don't worry, sweetie. I said, when my time comes, it'll come. I said, but as a black woman, you know I'm not going to be up there that quick with those girls, you know. So lean back, lean back. And we would get into so many arguments. And the last thing I remember is when I was on tour and I came home and my sister Jackie was in the hospital with cancer and it was like terminal. And she had asked me to make her egg and bacon sandwich. And I'd just gotten home that day and 5 minutes away would be the hospital. And I said, can I do it tomorrow, honey? I said, I'm so tired. She said, okay. So as I was getting prepared to make the sandwich and take it to the hospital, my Aunt Hattie Mae called and said, don't rush, sugar. She just passed. And so when I make the red velvet cake, because that was one of her favorite desserts from me, when I make it, I smell it, and I smell her, and I'm saying, oh, God, has she forgiven me? And that's one of my memories, and it's not so cute, but that's what I remember.
Wow. Well, that was an amazing story, because, you know, when you red velvet cake is a really big thing down here in the South. So yeah. I know the next time I eat a piece, I'll be thinking about you and your sister, Jackie. So, yeah.
So much.
Again, we're talking about Black Music Month. Is there, and I know I'm going to try to jog your memory here, but is there any particular album or song that when you think about Black Music Month, out of your all of your albums, all the songs that you performed, is there one that really stands out that this is a definitive Patti LaBelle song or album?
Well, I could say back in the day, it was Little Girls, written by Allie Willis.
Okay.
and someone else wrote this beautiful song. It's one of my favorite songs, and one of my favorite to sing would be Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Oh.
And now it's Here's to Life.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, your version of Somewhere Over the Rainbow, you know, I just have to say this. Whenever I am really feeling low,
mm-hmm.
I put, and I'm really going to date myself, I think it's the 1997 live album that uh-huh. you did. Gosh, they sometimes show it on the PBS station here. And I just remember you were really feeling that song because you picked up the microphone stand and you threw
Was this for Coretta Scott King?
No, this was just a regular concert that they had recorded. It was your Patti LaBelle live because it's the cover with you in the purple dress and it's sort of like
Yes. When I sing that song, sometimes I feel as though I can fly.
Mm.
And it takes me there at the very end, you know, when you hold that note and then come out and flapping my wings, I feel like a bird in the sky. I really do. And it's a great feeling.
Yeah. Well, you definitely take us there with that song and just so much of the music that you have performed over the years. I became a fan when my mom used to play, oh gosh, it was the song, oh God, now I'm having a...
Come on, remember.
It is the song with you and, oh my God, I cannot think of his name, but Love Has Finally Come at Last.
Oh, Bobby Womack.
Bobby Womack. Oh my God, my mom she wore that song.
Oh my goodness, she got a good one. That's a great one. Yes,
she wore that song out. And I just remember people talking about your shows and just if you have not experienced Patti LaBelle in concert, you're missing out. And so knowing that and growing up as a kid and hearing that and then finally seeing you in concert and then really now as an adult really understanding the music, it's like, oh my God, if you have not experienced, if you don't, you know, they call it what, the seven wonders, the eight wonders of the world,
uh-huh.
you're the ninth wonder of the world. People have to see you perform. They have
Thank
to see you
so
perform.
Much,
no problem.
A gracious young man.
Oh, no problem. Thank you so much for your time. Okay. You know, we have been, again, just super excited about having you on the air and so excited about this jazz album. It's Belle Hommage. It's available now. They can get it. Where are some other places that they can get it? On your website? What are some other?
On the website. And see, I don't do the Facebook and FaceTime.
Yeah,
and
social media. Yeah.
So just go on out and find it, okay? I don't even have a cell phone, so you know I'm that girl.
yeah. Well, Miss LaBelle, thank you so very much. Enjoy
thank
the rest
you too,
of
Ray.
Your day. And again, we're loving the album and we're loving you. Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you. And thank you, everyone who's listening. I love you.
Thank you so much for listening to today's show. I'd really like to thank my guests, Gil Robertson and Miss Patti LaBelle. I would also like to thank my engineer, Mark Angel, and you. Please join us next Saturday, July 1st at 9 a.m. for another edition of Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry. Here to close us out is Miss Patti performing Here's to Life. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.
No complaints and no regrets. I still believe in chasing dreams and placing bets. And I have learned that all you give is all you get. So give it all you've got. I had my share, I drank my fill, and even though I'm satisfied, I'm hungry still to see what's down another road beyond the hill and do it all again. So here's to life and every joy it brings. So here's to life to dreamers and their dreams. Funny how the time just flies, how love can go from warm hellos to sad goodbyes and leave you with the memories you've memorized to keep your winters warm. Yesterday, and who knows what tomorrow brings or takes away, as long as I'm still in the game. Yes, I want to play for laughs, for life, for love. Here's to you.